This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Okay, PFW in progress. Tom Casale and Andy Hart here. Fred hosts every show, comes with, all right, we're back. And when Tom hosts, it's okay. How about just PFW in progress Wednesday afternoon, Gillette Stadium?
Okay.
No one's listening anyway. Let's be honest here. All right, we got a ton of emails here. We got the Asante Samuel thing going on, the draft talk is heating up.
NFL schedule will be announced in this show.
The biggest day of the year because the Patriots' biggest game ever at Texas Stadium, the history. It's they're tearing it down. It'll be their final game there.
Is this the last year?
2009. So
it's
two more years.
So this year next is at the old
stadium. I'm sure that'll be a Monday nighter most likely. A lot of big games.
Some sort of prime time.
Yeah, a lot of big games for the Patriots this year. You got San Diego. You got your Cincinnati. You got all the NFC East.
Indy.
It's all over the place. Denver this year? No. No Denver. No Denver. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yes.
So.
A lot of big games.
Not many. I mean, you got teams that are perceived to be not very good in the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Browns. But, the Bills and the Dolphins are division foes. So.
And the Browns are Romeo Crennel. So you have some sort of storyline virtually every game.
I predict we will open at Miami. At Miami at 1 o'clock.
Prediction at Miami.
Yes.
I predict Gary left something on so we could hear his computer making noise.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
If you want to email in, it's webradio at patriots.com. If you want to give us a call, 508-543-7482. You know, we got the draft stuff going on. What's on your mind, Andy? Anything?
First of all, I'm chewing a granola bar. Oh. So. Well, but yes, I need to rant about a few different things.
Do any of them have anything to do with football?
Yes. One does, one doesn't. Well, they both sort of do. We've now learned what Patriots fans and listeners to this show have known all along. Patriots are the best organization in New England. By far, bar none, it is what it is. The Red Sox had opening day yesterday at Fenway Park, and they didn't sing the national anthem.
And you believe this is borderline communism?
I think it's communist. I mean, clearly, the new ownership group over there, all those 75 people that own the team, and John Henry, that soft-spoken nitwit, I mean, how can you not have a national anthem? I spoke with Gary about it. He was there, working hard, as always, taking in the ceremony, seeing how they do things, and hopefully learning a lesson so that we never repeat that debacle at Gillette Stadium.
That's one lesson I would never have learned.
I mean, how do you have a major sporting event, major, opening day at Fenway Park, a place where they want to put it on the National Register of Historical Sites, the Boston Red Sox, opening day, and you do not have a national anthem? I don't understand it. And apparently, you know, you're allowed to play America the Beautiful or, well, I don't know who made that rule, but it's a stupid rule. And I didn't allow it. And I don't think the general public should allow it. I think as Americans, we should be offended and we should boycott Fenway Park. No more games. Don't go there.
Okay.
What if I gave you monster seats?
And if you're trying to unload your tickets, it's Andy Hart at. But that really bothered me. But that's a side topic that people get mad at. Although I do think it's an issue. When we're no longer in this country, the Red Sox, their whole theme this year, isn't it like Team of the Nations
National? Let me get this straight now. The first seven emails are titled Asante Samuel, and you think people will get mad because you're talking about the Red Sox and the national anthem.
We'll get into
I'm sorry.
But this is more timely. They didn't play the anthem yesterday, and it's communist. Communist, communist. We're not going to China to see communism, but it's come here to New England, and it's overtaking us, and I'm not a big fan. The other is a quote I read attributed to old friend Gil Brandt, and I mean old in that he's really old and near death.
Coming
but
in three, two,
not Gil one. Santos, although he's pretty old, and you know death might be around the corner for him, too. I'm not sure. But Gil Brandt said, apparently on his Sirius radio show, that Wes Welker, I'm paraphrasing, nice player, but you don't win championships with Wes Welkers. Mm-hmm. Peter King puts it in his whatever he calls it, Monday Morning Quarterback, or you know, Stupid Thoughts from Peter King. And he rips it, basically, saying that every team has a Wes Welker. I think they misinterpreted the quote, because I saw some Patriots fans. I don't think he's saying, and this is how Peter King took it, that you can't win a championship with Wes Welker on your roster. What he's saying is, Wes Welker is not the kind of player that puts you over the top, that wins championships for you. Tom Brady wins championships for you. You could argue that Adalius Thomas, that signing, could help you enough to win a championship for you. Wes Welker is a nice little player. We've said it 1,000 times. We'll say it all year long. He's a nice little player. You can win with him. You can win without him. But that's all Gil Brandt was saying. He wasn't saying the Patriots will never win as long as Wes Welker is on the roster. That's not what he said.
Man, what in the hell got into you this morning, Artie?
It's tied to a lot of different things. The Don Imus thing, which we're not going to talk about. But that bothers me on a lot of levels.
Let me go down here and tell everyone what's going on here. So you might wonder what the story is.
Can I go back to my granola bar?
Yeah. Frank is on an official business. He's not here with us. Paul actually had another kid. Beth,
he's still fat.
Beth, if you're listening, for Christ's sake, stop popping out those little Perillos because two is enough. And Andy actually has a kid on the way, and this is why he is probably all worked up. I mean,
that
the call
part of
the call could come at any second. So there's a good chance that I'll be doing an hour and a half of this show by myself since we all know Gary is no help. But that's what's going on
here.
Oh,
he's nodding his head. Good.
Andy not happy with the communistic ways of the Boston Red Sox. He's not. What was the other thing he went going on?
Peter
about?
King.
Oh,
ranting.
Peter King.
Gil Brandt made a comment. He's right. And then the third
thing
is
Peter King.
Well, yeah, you gotta remember the context that it's in and everything. You know, he did just put the quote in there. Now fans get mad at us guys all the time when if we just put a quote and say, well, what's the whole story? Well, maybe they said, what do you think about these signings? And he went on for 20 minutes talking about Adalys Thomas and Dante Stallworth about how great they are and how the Patriots are the favorites. And then they said, well, what about Wes Welker? And he just said, well, he's all right, but he's not going to win championships
right.
with Wes Welker. So in what text was it taken?
Right.
And
we also
he's a senile old man.
And we also happen to know that he worships the ground that Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli walk on.
Exactly.
He thinks they are great.
That's
why
I don't think it was
said
in a negative tone, and it was just portrayed that way.
Right. And he is a senile old bastard. But beyond that, I think it was a fair comment. Wes Welker is what he is, and that's what we've been trying to express on this program for...
Man,
thank
God Paul isn't here.
Right. You know, I don't want this to evolve into another Wes Welker argument, but he is what he is. He's a nice little player. He's going to help this team win some football games.
Mm-hmm. He'll make a big catch here and there, but if you're depending on him to catch you know, 5, 6, 7 balls a game, it's not going
to
happen.
If you expect him to make the Pro Bowl, win Super Bowl
MVP,
and carry the team, you're wrong.
If making one adjustment, like the Patriots did in the second game, was that easy to shut him down, I'm pretty sure teams aren't going to stay up at night thinking, we got to stop this Wes Welker. You know what they're going to say? We got to get someone to stop Dante Stallworth from getting deep on us because they get a quick one and boom, that's 7. Because he catches one in stride. It's TD, baby. It's 7-0. So I think that's the point we're trying to make is when a defense looks at this team, they're going to look at Lawrence Maroney. They're going to look at Watson and they're going to look at Dante Stallworth and say, these are the guys that can hurt us with one play.
Playmakers.
And Welker's a guy that you're going to have to contain from getting those third and eights. Third and eight, you know, Brady's probably going to look for Welker over the middle like he did Troy Brown. And that's where you got to try to contain Welker.
I agree.
Ton of emails. The Asante Samuel thing came out after last week's show. We should probably touch on that, being that it's kind of big. Well, after they signed, they all said the right thing, but now Samuel's not happy. He has very little leverage, in my opinion. I mean, he was franchised. This whole franchise thing, that's the main issue now, is that what are they going to do about this franchise tag? Because it's almost useless.
And it's becoming a big issue with Samuel, with Briggs, and the argument is you just signed a CBA. You just extended the CBA. You really should have dealt with this when you were negotiating that, changing the franchise tag in some way. But as long as it's available to teams, they'd be stupid not to use it.
Oh, right. No, no one's blaming the Patriots.
Right. You're not going to let Asante Samuel just go to free agency and say, you know what, I understand you'd be upset if we franchised you, so we're not going to do it. That would be dumb. That's bad business. The two sides have two very different interests here. Asante Samuel, as a guy who's made $2 million over his four seasons as a fourth-round pick and coming off a 10-interception year, couple in the playoffs, his value is as high maybe as it will ever be.
Exactly.
And he's watching guys like Nate Clements get $22 million basically handed to them. And he's saying, well, yeah, $7 million's a lot of money, but $22 million's a lot more money. And he's seeing guys like Dre Bly get handed new contracts. And he's saying, I want mine. And the Patriots, as they should be, are saying, well, we have this franchise tag. Mm-hmm. We used it. You don't have a lot of leverage.
Right.
So two very different sides, two very different interests, but neither side is wrong.
Since you're all worked up, let me ask you. I posed this question when it happened, and I'm wondering if maybe this is the after effects of it. All the signings they went out and made. Now, I know a lot of them weren't for huge money, but you bring the Adalys Thomas in, you give him a nice contract. Does that kind of hurt things with Samuel, or do you think things would have gone the exact same way if they had signed nobody?
I think things would go the exact same way. Now, the Patriots might have had a stronger argument if they wanted to sort of spin it that, you know, we don't give those big deals or whatever, had they not gone out and spent the money on Thomas, and even to some degree, Dante Stallworth, because I'm sure Asante Samuel's agent is selling him on Dante Stallworth's contract as a, whatever it is, $33 million six-year deal, not the fact that it could be a one-year $3 million deal. But either way, I think Asante Samuel and his representatives see Nate Clements, and that's the guy they say, cha-ching. That's right. The guy we're comparing ourselves to. Because a lot of people say, well, Clements is more proven. He's got two more years in the league, first of all. So that makes him more proven. He's been more durable. He's played in every game in his career, all 16 games every season. But he only has 23 interceptions. Mm-hmm. Asante Samuel has 16. So 16 in four seasons is four a year. Now, I know he obviously had a breakout year last year, but you don't know if he's going to, I mean, if he gets another five or six next year, last year wasn't such a breakout year. But, you know, 6 years, 23 interceptions, that's four interceptions a year. So if you're just going to go by pick totals, they're similar. And I personally think they probably are similar. I think Asante Samuel is going to level out as a very good cornerback. I don't think he'll ever be Champ Bailey, but I think he's going to level out as a very good cornerback. And then you know what? The current market, very good cornerbacks get a lot of money.
Yeah, they do. And we'll have plenty more on this. There are a lot of emails in. But Sir Luck chimes in. October 21st at Miami is reported in Miami, he said. So we
Tom
go
Casale wrong again.
at Buffalo. I predict at Buffalo week one. I was just my point is I'm trying to think almost every game the Patriots are playing is a must-see game somewhere. It's on CBS, Fox, or so they put out the national games for week one.
Right.
The Patriots weren't involved, so I'm thinking of
how about one, Cleveland?
Is that, yeah, Cleveland could be definitely week one. Cleveland or Buffalo, it looks like.
I agree
like,
with
no.
you. It's probably going to be a lower-level game like one of those because a lot of the other games are going to be in contention for national consideration.
The Sun. Okay, this is, we got a Dan in Fairfax as to, the Pats play at Miami on October 21st, and Miami plays at New England December 21st.
Ooh.
That's big. Now that gets us off Christmas, right?
Yeah.
December 21st. Gary, when's December 21st? Is
Sounds
that
like
Saturday?
A Saturday.
We might have hit the jackpot on that one. Friday?
Sounds wrong then. Because there's not a lot of Friday NFL
maybe
games.
Maybe it's December 22nd, and it's a Saturday maybe. That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be that happened that one year when the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. They played there that weekend there. So that's thanks to Dan and Sirluck, we have the Miami games October 21st, definitely at Miami. And it's the December 21st weekend. I don't think it's the 21st unless there's games on Friday for some reason, which who knows what the NFL does.
I don't remember, but has there ever been Friday game? I mean,
unless they're trying to do something with the holiday weekend, maybe the Friday affair.
But now that's interesting, and it's also interesting if by any chance the game means anything, because the Dolphins have to come up here, and you know you never know what you're going to get in late December in Foxborough. So you know if there was any chance the Dolphins in first year under Cam Cameron were fighting for the division, that would be an interesting game late in the year here in Foxborough.
Yes, and how come someone's yelling at me about the Asante Samuel thing? I didn't even say anything yet. Says Tom, in 2006, each one of Asante's game checks was about $44,000. This year, each of his game checks will be $458,000. Bottom line, he's not going to be leaving any of those game checks on Bill Belichick's desk.
How do you know?
That was Phil from Austin, who also wanted to know about the running back from Hawaii, the 5'9", 250-pounder that we saw on tape.
I liked him.
Yeah.
Just because I generally like guys that are shaped like bowling balls.
He's shifty for a big guy in the open field. I mean, he's someone who caught a lot of passes, obviously, at Hawaii in the run and shoot and ran the sprint draw.
Right.
But in the open field, for a big guy, he's got some quickness to him.
But I just, you know what he is? He's a guy that'll go somewhere. He'll play in the preseason. He'll make some plays in the third and fourth quarters. He'll be a fan favorite. And he doesn't have much of a chance for a very distinguished NFL career.
Okay. Dan Heffernan has chime back in. It's December 23rd, so it's that Sunday, but it's at home, so we can.
So we're at home Christmas weekend. I like it.
So we caught a break.
Make that Sunday at one. That's nice. Be done home.
Yeah, we'll destroy the Dolphins. Make a nice write up on Christmas Eve
and Christmas off. I like it.
Yep. And Thanksgiving, we thought we could have hit double dip this year.
We are.
We got off to
PFW appears to be hitting the scheduled jackpot this season in terms of working out for us.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Miami at New England, December 23rd. It's also good if the Patriots are fighting for the playoffs because that's a nice easy win.
Yeah.
So that's a good late season game for them. We got a ton of Samuel stuff. We'll get to the emails here. Ben, he's going in a different direction here. This is a Ben from Boxborough. Now, he's going to clear something up for you here, Andy, okay? He says, hey, Paul, Tom, Andy, and Frank, if the Patriots found out a way to draft Ted Ginn with one of their first two rounders, what on earth would happen to Wes Welker with this team? I would see no place whatsoever for him in this offense, and I assume the kick punt returner duties would also belong to Ginn. Well, first, let's stop there. That's probably why they won't draft Ginn, but if they did, you can damn well bet he's returning punts and kicks.
No question.
Because he's as good as it. I mean, that's what you're getting with Ginn at worst is Devin Hester if you draft him in the first round. And then he might become a pretty good receiver, too. So
I was going to say, the questions on him are what he's going to do as an every down receiver in the NFL. Returns in the big plays are what are going to get him his foot in the door.
Yeah, and you can put anyone you want on a track. There's nobody in this draft or maybe in the NFL who runs as fast as Ted Ginn, because once he hits that seam, it's good night. He said, I would be extremely pumped if Ginn did end up with the Pats, but I'm also looking forward to Welker having a place on this team. Not as much as Mrs. Frank Kirsch Welker over there, but I'm interested. He says, also, Andy, this is Ben from Boxborough, and the guy you are supposedly feuding with is Craig from Boxborough.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
Unlike what you said on last week's show. But you are right. Despite whatever Frank says, Boxborough sucks. And, Tom, you may be the king of Tecmo Bowl, but no way do you stand a chance against me at Madden 07. You are exactly right. I would probably not even score on you. This is an official challenge. You would beat me 70 to nothing. And, Gary, that soundbite of Tom playing Tecmo Bowl was the funniest soundbite ever. Thanks, and keep up the good work, Ben from Boxborough, not Craig.
We should make a little bit of an announcement. Fred's not here, so even if this is inappropriate, we can get away with it. Anyone who wants to hear the PFW boys live and in person, apparently we're going to be doing some sit-down chats,
roundtable
Q&A,
draft,
discussions in May following the draft for some of our more well-funded listeners who I think you have to be a club seat holder.
And my guess is none of them are listening to the show.
To get in the door. They could be. But if you own club seats and you've ever wanted to sit down and talk football with Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart, you're going to have your opportunity
now,
in May.
Is Fred Kirsch part of this? Or
I don't think so. They wanted some information to be, you know, brought to the table, not just idiocy.
Okay, Karthik has a couple of trade ideas for Samuel. We're already trading him.
Which, you know, it could be an option. I mean, you look at it, the way it worked out with Deion Branch. Oh, by the way, I guess Deion Branch, spoke about Asani Samuel on one of the Sirius satellite shows. And I don't know, I didn't hear it. I was reading about it online. But apparently said he doesn't think, Samuel will hold out because there's just too much money to be left on the table. He goes with that camp. He thinks he'd be a little bit crazy to leave $7.79 million.
Yeah, it's a different deal
on the table
than what,
you know,
Branch was doing.
Branch would have cost himself $1 million had he set out, because it would have been fines. That's the big difference. They can't fine Asani Samuel because right now Asani Samuel's not under contract with anybody. He is a franchised player, and should he sign that tender, then he'd be under contract. But as of right now, he's a free agent.
Right.
They can't do anything to him.
Right. His first trade is with the Bears for Lance Briggs. He says you bring in Briggs. He says the secondary would be okay with Chad Scott, Randall Gay, Hobbs in a rotation, draft someone like Ross in the first round. He said then you got Harrison and Wilson coming back, James Sanders, and maybe draft Griffin, too, from Texas. And then we can trade Eugene Wilson next year. But is it me, or am I the only one that doesn't think Randall Gay is a starting NFL cornerback?
A lot of people seem to think he's a big-time player. I actually heard our good friend Mike Felger talking about how he thinks, when healthy, Randall Gay is a starter in the National Football League.
Well, so now we know that he's not.
Right.
Because Felger's an idiot.
I think Randall Gay, even if you think he's great, the bottom line is he's played one season in like 6 years.
Yeah.
He was hurt in college. That's why he didn't get drafted. And he's been hurt every year basically but one in the National Football League.
In my time here, in 2 years going to different locker rooms, I've never seen anyone on any team that thin.
That's frail.
I mean, fans might see it on the field and say he's pretty skinny, but when you see this guy, like, in the locker room, it's unbelievable. He's definitely got the most out of his talent, his physical talent, because he is skinny.
I think he gives you good effort. I don't see how you can count on him.
I agree with you. You can't, and like, Chad Scott, too, don't you think Scott's gonna be fighting for a roster spot?
Yes. I think he's on the downside of his career significantly.
Yeah, so let me say this right now so we get this out of the way. Torrey James sucks. They can bring all the Torrey James in they want. We told you last year when they brought in Warfield that he couldn't play. He didn't even make it through training camp. Torrey James cannot play. He's 34 years old.
In trouble.
Yes. So I'd much rather have Chad Scott and Randall Gay over him.
I'll take Randall Gay. If you give me a training camp, and he's healthy, I'll take Randall Gay as my fourth, fifth corner.
But you're talking about guys you can count on, and we're not so sure you can count on Scott and Randall Gay to be a huge part of your...
I don't think you can. I mean, Chad Scott...
Scott
to
played
me,
better at safety,
I was going
to
say, he's a safety now, in my mind. You know, with some ability and sub-packages to play some at corner and in the slot, but I think he's a safety, and I think Gay is... You just can't count on him.
And the other thing is, the whole thing about moving Wilson a corner, just think about it. His entire time here... They've had all these injuries, right? For some reason, they've never moved him to corner.
Right.
They moved him to safety as a rookie, and they've never moved him back. To me, that tells me something, that they don't think he can be great as a corner for some reason.
Could be, because I if you have a great corner, I think you put him at corner. If you think he can be a very good corner. I sort of agree with you, and bottom line is there. He just hasn't played well at safety or whatever he's done. Covering in the slot, he's kind of regressed over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I don't put a lot of stock in Randall Gay and Chad Scott if you're counting on them. Now, it's hard to say because this team is one with basically anybody in the secondary. Mm-hmm. They throw somebody out there. They throw Troy Brown out there. You know, maybe they put less stock in corners and cover guys than we do as fans and as media types. Maybe Bill Belichick says, I can put somebody out there and I can teach him to do enough.
Yeah, and if you had the Hobbs, Scott, rookie, Wilson, Gay scenario, it wouldn't be that bad, but what if Hobbs gets hurt? Okay, now you're in panic mode almost. So it's hard to say, well, you just have these guys, because especially on this team and in the defensive backfield, you gotta count on an injury or two. These guys have about six defensive backs a year go on IR.
No question.
And a second trade is for Michael Turner with San Diego. Turner wants to be a starter.
Right.
And they drafted Maroney to carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. That's why they signed Sammy Morris.
And the other, oh, yeah, the first trade, big part. I mean, so you're trading for a guy who wants to get big money. I mean, you're just, you know what I mean? And not only that, you're trading for Lance Briggs, who wants huge money, at linebacker. And you already have a lot invested at linebacker
now. Signed, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So why wouldn't you just sign
Unless
Sanders?
Teddy Bruschi or somebody announces a surprise retirement and you're going to reshuffle things there, you're adding a fifth linebacker who, don't get me wrong, is a very good player, but has said, A, he doesn't like the 3-4, so he doesn't really want to play in it. B, wants huge dollars. And C, you're creating a need at one position so that you have basically more depth at another.
Yeah.
You know, you now have a hole at cornerback. So I know finances are tough with all the money, but I tend to lean towards, you've seen Asani Samuel be a pretty good player in your system. I like that. I like guys that I know do what I ask them to do and do it well. Because interceptions aside, he had a breakout year. But beyond that, he's developed into a pretty good corner. He's been pretty good going all the way back to his rookie year where we saw signs of him being a physical player. Oh, you know what? This guy might be an option at nickel. Then you say, well, you know what? This guy might be a starter. And then you say, this guy might be pretty good. He's evolved. And I personally don't fall under the, oh, you're going to pay him and he's going to stop working and he'll never be a good player again. I think he's a cocky SOB. I think he wants to be a Pro Bowler. I think he wants people to say, Champ Bailey, Asani Samuel. I think he has that ego, that whatever you internal drive that a lot of good corners have.
Oh, I agree. And Ravi, is that how you say it, from Indianapolis?
Ravioli?
His trade is, I'm just going to go through a couple of these and just get your idea. We got a ton of Samuel emails, so we can't read them all. But he's talking about the Redskins, obviously. You trade with the Redskins, then you get the sixth pick. You trade Samuel in the 28th for the number six. And he said that would give the Patriots options, allow them to trade down to get Willis, Landry, or even trade up for Calvin Johnson. What do you think? In my opinion, I don't think they're going to go. I mean, you know no one loves LeRon Landry more than me.
Right.
I think there's three can't-miss guys, Johnson, Peterson, and Landry in this draft. But I just don't see him going up that high. You got to pay him a ton of money. You know, you can sit back. As much as I love Landry, and I love Landry, I think he's going to be an eight-time Pro Bowler. But if you're telling me I have to give up all this, go up and get Landry, or I can sit where I am and get Michael Griffin,
right.
I'm going to sit where I am and get Michael Griffin because I think he's a darn good football player too.
Plus, would you rather, now again, money aside and all how this plays out, but would you rather have Michael Griffin, Asani Samuel, Ellis Hobbs, Rodney Harrison, or would you rather have to give up Samuel and end up with Landry and some corner?
Right.
You know, I think that could be a pretty good secondary. If you get a guy like Michael Griffin, add him to Asani Samuel, who I think's developing into a pretty good player, I think that could be a good secondary. All these trade rumors, and I know people love playing this game, and it's fine, and I think it's fun as fans to come up with ideas. I personally, if I'm trading Samuel in one of these package deals, I'd like to get a corner back. You know, whether it's Sean Springs, I've seen people throw out there with the Redskins type trades. I'd like to get a guy back who I think can play a little bit and that I can put in there. Because now, again, if I just trade him, okay, so I got Patrick Willis, but I have a big hole at cornerback. So I'd like to get a veteran cornerback if you're going to make a trade like that.
Okay. Okay, here we have it. The Patriots will open their season by visiting the Jets on Sunday, September 9th.
Where'd
so
you get
the
that
Jets. I get stuff. The team's home opener will be the following weekend, September 16th, against the Chargers. The Patriots-Chargers game will be on NBC on Sunday night.
So we have a Sunday night game the second week.
So we now know that we play the Dolphins the 21st of October in Miami. They're coming here Christmas weekend. We open at the Jets, and the Patriots have their home opener Sunday night, the week after that, against the Chargers, which should be, I mean, that's going to be a hype machine because the Chargers, man, were they yapping. And we all know what happened at the end of that game. So those are the first games that have been announced, and more to come. It's going to be nonstop action this year on the schedule. I mean, with all the teams they're playing.
I like that, though. That's good. And a big, you start out with the Mangini game.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, right out of the gates, you got Mangini,
I mean,
and then Chargers.
There's not going to be many breaks.
Well, that's a replay of the postseason, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get many breaks because then you're going to throw the Bengals in there. You've got the Cowboys. You got the Eagles. You got the Giants and Eli Manning. I mean, you got the Colts. It's just going to be nonstop.
An exciting schedule.
Oh, I can't wait. This year
and
is challenging.
Great.
Very challenging.
If you end up getting through that schedule with 11 wins somewhere in that range,
you're a darn good football team.
You're a very good football team.
Hello, Paul. Who's this? Oh, this is the guy you're fighting with. This is Craig from Boxborough. Okay.
Idiot.
So, this is hello, Tom, Paul, Andy, and Frank. Good show last week. Before I ask about the Pats, I've got two things to get out of the way first. First, Tom was right. It was, it was a cheap tip.
Yes,
I forgot all about that. And secondly, that South Park you guys recommended was one of the funniest I've ever seen. Now on to football-related topics. Will Junior Seau return next season? I know he's up there in age, but he could still be a major role player like he was last year. I assume the answer to this question will be answered on draft day, but I wanted to hear what you guys had to say about it. P.S. For some reason, I have newfound respect for Andy ever since Frank came back from China and since Paul became the nicer Paul. Keep it up, Andy. You're doing a hell of a job. And as always, Tom, you're still the best.
Hey, thanks,
very
Craig.
Good email.
I guess I don't hate Boxborough anymore. Because both guys seem like they're
everyone
nice
loves you from Boxborough.
Yeah.
So
like
what about Seau? Is he back?
I think he's right. I think we find out, you know, right around draft weekend. If they draft Beeson, or by any chance, if they get a guy like Willis, maybe even a Harris, if they get a rookie that can come in and contribute at least rotationally right away, then I think maybe there's not really a place for Junior Seau on this team. But if they don't draft a rookie that early, then I think, yeah, there's room, because you need a backup in there, somebody who can play.
Yeah, you need someone who can play in a pinch.
And you have him in the position he was kind of supposed to be in last year, not starting all the time. So, yeah, unless they draft Harris, Beeson, one of those guys high, then I think there's room for Junior Seau, and I think they'd like him back. I think they were impressed with what they saw.
Okay, well, I'm not going to read his whole email because it was about Samuel, and we've talked a lot about it. But he gives Frank the words that he cannot say on the air. Obviously, I cannot repeat them.
All right, give me the first letter.
S.
Okay.
F.
Yep.
C.
Okay.
C. M.
Oh. Does one rhyme with punt and
yes.
one rhyme with rock?
Rock Rucker.
Row Raggy, Rock Rucker.
And then he says at the end, you guys are still great, and I'm glad you've replaced Fred with Frank. I hated that douchebag. So good email from Josh.
I think Frank's kind of annoying, too. Gary, have you been listening to us? You haven't, huh? You've been missing good stuff. Did you hear him just say Rock Rucker?
I heard they like Frank better than Fred.
Yes. Nick, I believe this is Nick from San Diego, maybe? I don't know. It doesn't say San Diego. He says, hello, boys. First, let me say that if we really do get a second-round pick from the Jets for Gay, then they can have him. Listen, I'll drive him to New York,
exactly.
Not even the airport. I'll take him all the way to New York.
I agree. This is like Brandon Gorin.
Yeah. He said, hell, I would take a third for him and not even blink. Do we really get a second-round pick if they sign him and
yes,
we don't match?
We should. Yeah. He left New York without a contract offer. So,
and I think it was Mike Reese who made a good point that the Jets, they brought in two restricted free agents. They may just be doing work for next year.
Right.
Like starting
right.
early.
These are guys that
are
going to be available next
year.
And
so that's certainly a possibility. And he said, would you keep all three picks or would you package it with 24 to move up? The value chart on ESPN says the combination of 24 and 57 puts you right in the middle of 14 and 15. From there, I think there's a great chance of getting Nelson and an okay chance of getting Willis. Well, again, I would just sit and take Griffin. I mean, after Landry, I think your next three of Nelson, Griffin, and Merriweather are so closely, like, they're just right there all together. And depending on which guy you like and which guy fits your scheme, I think you just sit there and take one of those guys if you want them.
Yes. Now, again, I think Willis, if by chance he's a guy that slips, if Willis is available 17, 18...
They're moving up.
I think they move up to take him. But I think you could end up moving up and still keep your 28. So, I mean, that's the ideal. There's no question that in my mind, and I think a lot of NFL experts, if you look at mocks, agree, the ideal would be to get Willis and to get Griffin or Reggie Nelson, one of those safeties, because those are the big needs on this team. If you add those two, that's an impressive draft. I don't think you're going to have the ability to do it, but if you can, that's Patriots fans do cartwheels.
Well, he says a hypothetical question. Let's say Willis, Nelson, Landry, Hall, Beeson, Revis, and Posluszny are all off the board at 24. Who would you take? He says the Sporting News has us taking Merriweather and Harris with Beeson going later. Would you be okay with that? No, I'd be fine with that.
Has who? Merriweather and who? Harris?
Harris.
I like Harris as an inside linebacker. I think he's a monster-type inside linebacker, physical. I think he'd get the job done. Was Griffin taken? Because I really like
Griffin.
Griffin's
still on the board.
I like Griffin better than Merriweather.
I do, too, but I wouldn't be like in an outrage.
No, I'm not saying that's a reach. He's a fourth-round pick. I mean, the guys are comparable. I just happen to like Griffin more. I think he's more of an in-the-box playmaker. Rodney Harrison type. I think Merriweather is more Eugene Wilson cover guy. Yeah,
that's exactly correct. I just wrote the thing for Griffin for the web, and I think he had like 358 tackles.
Right,
at
he's
Texas.
A machine.
He had 124 2 years ago. He had 126 last year. He's all over the place in the box. I mean, all over the place. And he has the speed to cover.
And the big question is, though, you know, what do the Patriots think of their depth chart at safety? Because James Sanders, if you think he's your starting strong safety moving forward, then maybe you are looking for more of a free type, a Merriweather or a Nelson. If you think Eugene Wilson, you're going to re-sign and he's going to be here for a while, then maybe you're looking for Griffin, an in-the-box playmaker.
And you make a good point. We've been talking a lot about the safety position. Maybe they think it's okay.
Maybe.
Maybe they think, I don't want to draft a safety in the first round.
I like James Sanders. I like him a lot, maybe as much as anyone. I just don't think he's a playmaker. I think he's kind of
he's a guy who's going to make some tackles. Yeah.
Just not an impact player.
He's not going to change the game.
Right.
Like,
which
you get a Landry. Those guys change the ball. Like Ed Reed. Ed Reed changes the game for you.
Right. And again, the wild card is Wilson. Now, I think he's had two terrible seasons. And it's tough to say, he's going to bounce
back. Player of the year, in my opinion.
Well, then I think
I think he's going to play good this year. I don't know where.
Then you know what? I'm not sure they need a safety in the first round. Because I think James Sanders is solid, and I think Wilson can be a playmaker.
All right. So no safety for Andy Hart.
So what are we drafting now? Apparently it's just linebacker.
Linebacker and a center, according to some people.
Yeah.
Ryan says he's got a little agree-disagree. Asante Samuel will start in week one of this season for the New England Patriots.
Agree.
I agree. The China Bowl will be played in 2008, and then New England will be one of the teams. Disagree.
Disagree. It's 2009. Yes. New England will be one of the teams.
Steven Guskowski will hit the sophomore slump and struggle this season. I disagree.
Disagree.
I like his mettle. Matt Castle is the long-term answer at backup quarterback. Irrelevant, I think.
It's also, you know, he's going to be a free agent coming up, and does he stay? Does he want to go somewhere where he might play? What do other teams think of him?
Yeah, we've seen so little of him, it's hard to say. It's just, I always go by the assumption if you have Brady in Manning and you lose him, your season's over.
Right.
I really don't care who your backup is.
How many teams have long-term, quote-unquote, backups? I mean, either the guy is old and he's almost done, so you have him for a couple of years, or he's young and he's developing and he goes somewhere.
I'll say he's not, because I think some team out there will see him and say, you know, this guy can help us right now, where here he's just going to be behind Brady
especially
forever.
If he has a good preseason this year.
So I'll say no. Drew Bledsoe's number 11 will be retired by the New England Patriots.
No.
The
Boos?
No. They're saying Drew.
He'll be in the team Hall of Fame and all that crap, but
his number will not be retired.
You won't see too many numbers retired. The next one you see retired will probably be 1-2.
Yeah. Daniel Graham will get his wish and be a 60-plus catch receiver for the Broncos this year. I will say agree. I agree with that.
Agree.
Andre Tippett will one day be in the Hall of Fame.
Agree.
Agree. Corey Dillon will re-sign during training camp or early in the season.
Disagree.
Disagree. He's not coming back. Trust us.
Corey Dillon's not walking through that door.
He's not. There's a bunch of reasons why he's not coming back. He's not playing here anymore. Dean Pease will be offered a head coaching job at the end of the season.
Disagree.
Jeez, I gotta take a leak so bad,
I'm
going to
agree.
Taste it.
I'm going to say that if they play well defensively this year, he's in the mix. Tom Casale will bend Frank over the table after their next salary review. We just had a salary review and I barely blew him a kiss. He's lucky I shook his hand on the way out. So that was, what is this here? We got some
spam?
We got a lot of spam in here for some reason. I don't know. This is the Reverend Ray. He says, man, I hate the off season. Okay, so the draft is really the most intriguing thing going on. So I got some questions about what you guys think the Pats will do with their picks. Obviously, we should expect some trading going on.
Yes.
What are the odds the Patriots make 4 6-round selections? Pretty good. I think they might trade one in a package maybe, but two they have to make.
Two
right?
They have to make. So they could trade two. It would be, obviously it would be in a package.
Yeah.
Unless they move up for one spot. Occasionally you see that, but. I'll say, three. They make three.
Yeah, that's what I say. Make selections 24 and 28. I say no.
Slim. Very slim. Could be any reason why, up, down, out, any reason why. But
and as Andy and I go more and more over the draft, it's the guys in the third round are similar to the guys in the first round. They really are. I mean,
once you're out of that top 6-7, 10 to 20 is the same as 20 to 30, could be the same as 30 to 40.
And so that means they might look for a pick in next year's draft. And so who knows? But I agree. I think some trading. Move the 28th pick back to something like Chicago's 31st plus a mid-rounder, and then package the 31st for Samuel and the 6th. And Samuel for the 6th. Oh, he's saying go back with Chicago, get their 31, then trade Samuel and 31 for 6.
No.
No.
Because Chicago, why would Chicago make that trade?
Yeah.
They would only make that trade on draft weekend for a specific guy they wanted at 28 that they don't think will be there at 31. So you wouldn't, and to make the trade with Washington for 6, you'd have to make that before draft weekend. So I don't see any way that scenario could play itself out. Like most trades happen during the draft because teams are doing it for a specific player. So you need to wait to see how the draft unfolds. Unless you're trading for the number one overall selection.
Right. And he says, the Jets give us a second for Randall Gay. Please say yes.
No.
The Pats take an O lineman or receiver in round one. Definitely possible. Definitely possible.
Possible.
Now here's a random question. Down Jimmy Johnson's famous draft value chart, have number values for future picks. It seems like a rule of thumb, picks in this year's draft are worth a round higher in next year's. So are they higher next year, he's saying?
That's sort of what people assume, that you trade a two this year for one next year or whatever. But I think it varies case by case, you know, depending on the draft this year. I mean, the Patriots traded a one for a one with the Ravens whenever that was 3 or 4 years ago. So it varies by case. That has been the rule that some, I know Michael Smith is a big believer that that's the, you know, cut and dried rule. That's how it works. But I just think it depends. And it's also, I mean, there's some projection in there because you're trading with a team, you know, a team that trades for the Patriots first next year is probably going to assume that the pick is going to be somewhere 24 to 30 at the best. But if you trade, say, for the Browns' first-round pick next year, you're probably hoping that you're getting a top 10 or 12 pick.
Steven, we'll take one more, Gary, then we'll go to break. He says, love the show, guys. I always look forward to the Thursday commute when I can play the weekly podcast. More traffic? Cool. Your new guy, Frank, is pretty good. He's a huge upgrade over Fred Kirsch. Thank goodness you finally got rid of him. Who was the first person to call him Frank? Because they need, like, we need to put a picture
they
on the wall.
They deserve kudos.
I don't remember anything. One emailer screws up Fred's name and everybody follows suit.
Two cornerback questions. Are the Patriots concerned about a long-term Asante Samuel contract given the impending deals for Warren and Wilfork? If the Pats signed Samuel to a long-term deal, would that hurt their chances of re-signing those two guys who are probably more valuable to the team?
Not necessarily. Because as we all know, the salary cap's going up every year, and there's money out there. You can find money at any time you really need to with guys like Brady and Seymour reworking their deals. I've learned more and more over the last year or two that the salary cap is fraudulent. People in the NFL, people who work with the salary cap, believe if you need money, you can find it. You can get a contract done if you want to. But this is interesting because I think people... A lot of people make generalities. Oh, the Patriots have let plenty of guys go over the years, and it's never really hurt them. Well, you're in a new era here because Deion Branch, prime of his career. Asante Samuel, prime of his career. These aren't, you know, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, running out of gas on their career. These are guys that could be entering all-pro status in their career. So it's different. If you let Samuel go, there's a chance you could really live to regret it. Just like if you sign him and give him $22 million... Yeah, there's a chance you could live to regret that, too. But I don't lump these in with... Even Damian Woody, he was a Pro Bowl guard. Okay, yeah. So he was a guard. That's different than cornerbacks, receivers. You're talking about marquee, big money, playmaking kind of guys. We haven't seen this a lot.
And if you want to keep premier corners, you got to pay them.
Right.
I mean, you can't...
Because somebody's going to.
Because corners, first of all... are usually the best are cocky and confident, and they want money, and they're going to get it, and they know they will. So if you want to keep that position, you pretty much always have to overpay. Or maybe a guy like Wilfork says, I like the system. That's a pretty good contract. I'll take it. You know what I mean? So, but corners, you're pretty much always going to have to overpay for that position.
And it's also, Wilfork's great in this system. He might not be great in another system. A cornerback who can cover, can cover.
Ty Law can play anywhere.
Right. there are certain guys, you know, I mean, even to some degree, a smart receiver. He can catch the ball. Mm-hmm. He can get open. But a nose tackle? Well, we've seen that Vince Wilfork is a good 3-4 nose tackle. Now, in college, he was a shoot-the-gap kind of guy. Maybe he could do that elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe he'd be better. But we know he's good here, mm-hmm. and he knows he's good here, and he knows he might like it here. So that comes into play. But the other interesting thing is those three guys up front in general. Can you afford to sign all of them long-term to big-money deals yeah. at maybe the expense of a receiver or a corner? Do you need three elite defensive linemen to be good? Or do you need Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork, you let Ty Warren go so you can sign a receiver in a corner? You know, they've invested a lot up there. How far can you continue to invest?
Right. And the second question is, where do we send glowing recommendations on Randall Gay? Is there a GM address to the Jets, or do we go straight to Mangini? that would be one of the more peculiar things that I've seen over the years, if they give up a second-round pick for Randall Gay.
Yeah.
I mean, but all of a sudden, Wes Welker and Randall Gay are getting
second-round picks.
That's amazing. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more PFW in Progress.
International superstar and soccer icon David Beckham is the newest member of Major League Soccer and will bring his world-class skills to Foxborough August 12th against your New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium. Get your tickets to this must-see event as part of the David Beckham 4-Pack. The 4-Pack includes the Revs home opener doubleheader on April 14th against Toronto FC and the U.S. Women's National Team FIFA World Cup tune-up against Mexico. Freddie Adu and his new team Real Salt Lake on June 2nd, a nationally televised match against the Kansas City Wizards, and the first ever visit of David Beckham to Gillette Stadium with the LA Galaxy on August 12th. The Revs 4-Pack featuring David Beckham. 4 dates, 5 games for just $72 with free parking makes New England Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your David Beckham ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2! Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da-da-dee-da-da-da-doo.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring...
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave...
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's croon tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy. Brave. Biggie, Huffman,
and Andy,
Coolioolio, the whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they gonna sing it again? Shabang, shabop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name is...
PFW in Progress.
Okay, we're back. New open, PFW in Progress. You
okay.
Gotta love it.
Okay.
Well, I was taking a drink, you know... I'm not the regular host. What do you want me to do? Frank is.
A regular host does it, too. It's just a different word. But it always starts with the same word.
And Frank's been here for 22 years.
No, Frank's actually been here for like a couple months. He replaced Fred.
So we still have... Okay, the schedule is about to come out. Five minutes away. I haven't seen any other emails. If anyone gets anything filtering in, you can email it to us. And we will try to get it on
web
the
air. Radio at Patriots.com.
Web radio at Patriots.com. You can call us at 508-543-7482. Just Andy Hart and Tom Casale, the slimmed down version.
Of who?
What?
Slimmed down version of you?
Hey, I'm 230 right now. I'm looking good. I'm looking really good. Although I can't find clothes. Listen, if anyone out there who lifts weights, I mean, I'm sure you're not as big as I am, but I can't find clothes anywhere. I can't find a shirt that goes over my back, nothing. I mean, let's be honest. I'm huge. I got a huge back, huge arms.
Your head's huge.
That too. But I mean, Andy's the same. We can't find clothes. I was at Macy's for an hour and a half trying on coats. And it's not the stomach part. It's up near the shoulder and the back. I can't find anything. If you guys know of any place where you get clothes for people who work out, please let me know because I'll take any suggestions at this point.
It also has to be relatively reasonable in price.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any money.
We can't just go where the players go and get tailor-made suits every day.
Although I am getting one of those, and I think I'm getting ripped off, to be quite honest with you.
I think you are, too. Good luck with that.
Hey, Early Doucette, the top-rated receiver in next year's draft, chimes in. He says, hey, guys, surprise, surprise. Samuel says he's unhappy. Here we go again. So Brady is running around in Africa. Is this?
No, he's back. He was at the Red Sox game.
Well, this was probably a little while ago. Is this in preparation for when he marries Giselle and they can be another Brad Jelena?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that what they call him, Brad Jelena? I'm not whatchamacallit who's on those rumors.
I think it's Brangelina.
Yeah.
Brad, okay.
Is there an N in there?
Yeah, well, no, it says Brad Jelena.
Well, maybe he's got his own little version, but,
says, what is he thinking? He says, there's more disease in the cleanest places there than on the bathroom floor at the old Boston Garden. After the way he played last year in the playoffs, he should have went from Indy straight to off-season workouts. I knew Bobby Orr, and this guy is no Bobby Orr.
Wow.
Is any of this seemingly lack of preparation bother you guys? In years past, a guy was like in years past, this guy was like Larry Bird. From season to training for the season to next season and training camp, Africa, please. The only good thing that could come out of that trip was if he had Giselle with him and the natives captured her and gave her to Kong. One last thing. I just heard a rumor that Washington would trade their draft pick for Samuel and the Pats' 28th pick. I don't see how the Redskins would have cap space for him, but will you do that deal? Thanks, guys, for a great show, and have a great week. And that's Russell roasting in the Palm Springs desert looking for the OC Mirage.
I don't think I'd do that deal. Unless I believe I can't sign Samuel. If
yeah,
that's
I think
ended.
That was, yeah, this was on Monday. Wasn't that a Pro Football Talk?
Yeah,
thing
that was kind of a rumor. I know Schefter's come out now and sort of poo-pooed that the Redskins have any interest in that. But again, I'm 28 and Samuel for six, I don't love. And I'll be honest, I only make that if I come to the realization Asante Samuel is no longer going to be a Patriot. Okay, if that's the case, then yeah, that's fine. I'll take that. But otherwise, I'd like Asante Samuel and the guy I think I can draft at 28.
Okay, Brent Larson. The much-anticipated rematch of the AFC Championship game between the Patriots and Colts in Indianapolis will be held Sunday, November 4th. The kickoff is scheduled for 4:15, and the game will be on CBS.
Not a night game.
But is that flex scheduling or November 4th? Is that into?
Yeah, I believe that might be flex scheduling period.
But they can. But no, but you know what that means.
They can block it.
Oh, yeah.
So
4:15 on CBS because they're not. If you're going to use a block, you're going to use it
that's
on.
That's a good block game.
Yeah. So that's nice. That's where you'll see it. 4:15 CBS in Indy rematch November 4th. Let's do it, baby. Hey, when's that Cowboy game? Oh, wait. Here we go. Schedule updates. Sean McLaughlin. October 14th at Dallas. There it is. The day.
October 14th at Dallas. What time?
It doesn't say what time. October 14th at Dallas, November 4th at Indy, December 2nd at Baltimore, and then December 9th, Pittsburgh is here. Love the new open, the best one yet. That's Sean from Hazleton coming in with that information. And hey, Sean, let me know when, what time the Dallas game is. Is that a Monday nighter? When's October 14th, Gary? Sunday?
Gary, do I get the NFL Network on this TV in here?
Could be a Sunday night game. It's starting to, the picture is starting to become clearer.
Okay, I have it on the NFL Network.
Man, I can't wait to get that scheduled. Sink my teeth into it.
And they are showing the Bills schedule is scrolling right now. And they're
showing they're in the AFC East.
Brett Favre, four national TV games for Brett Favre. Oh, great.
Great.
The crappers.
All right, so the Bills are on. Hurry up. Who's after Buffalo?
Read an email.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out who's next. Miami?
Yeah.
Then New England? Okay, so we'll go to our paisano, PJ. He says, Frank's the man. Hey, guys, I just wanted to know how much influence Frank has on the rest of the media. He stated his bold prediction last week that Brady Quinn will be taken before Jamarcus Russell. Then 2 days later, ProFootballTalk.com comes out with their mock draft, which has Brady Quinn going 3 and Russell going 4th. It just goes to show that when Frank talks, everyone listens. Speaking of Pro Football Talk, they have a scenario where the Pats trade up to 6 for the Redskins for Asante Samuel and their first round pick. I know this is far fetched. I am glad because I think we need Samuel for our cornerback situation, or our cornerback situation will look terrible. But this question is for Tom because he is high on both players. Hypothetically speaking, if this were to happen, would you then A, take LeRon Landry, B, trade up to get Calvin Johnson? I know Landry would help us this year, but get Johnson and Brady together for years to come would almost worth being light in the secondary for 1 year and going full bore defensive back next year.
Week 1, September 9th at Jets. Week 2, September 16th, Chargers. Week 3, September 23rd, Bills. Week 4, Monday, October 1st, at the Bengals. Week 5, October 7th, Browns. Week 6, October 14th, at Cowboys. Week 7, October 21, at Dolphins. Week 8, October 28th, Redskins. Week 9, November 4th, at Colts. Week 10, November 11th, bye. Week 11, November 18th, at Bills. Week 12, November 25th, Eagles. Week 13, Monday, December 3rd, at Ravens. Week 14, December 9th, Steelers. I can take a breath there, scrolling. Week 15, December 16th, Jets. Week 16, December 23rd, Dolphins. Week 17, the 29th,
Saturday,
at the Giants.
So, three of the last four are at home. Three of the last, the Jets, the Bills, the Steelers are at home, and the Giants are on the road. So there's a three-game home streak to end the season.
That's not bad.
Before we go to New York to play the Giants.
The Giants could be, who knows what Giants will be at that point. With
Belichick might just be shopping for a new home. Who knows what's going to be going on there?
Dressing in the home locker room in New York.
So there's the schedule. I'm sure we'll get an email and we can look at it a little bit.
It'll be on Patriots.com momentarily, so if you want to look at it, digest it a little more, analyze
yes.
it, hopefully Chris Ferreira's not at lunch.
So get that sucker. PJ goes on to say, Gary should change the opening of the show to incorporate the host's new name, Frank.
I agree.
Frank.
That would...
Oh, we can bring... You have the Frank ones from when we had the Frank...
Frank the Tank.
And to answer your question, PJ, if I was going to move up to six... I mean, Calvin Johnson's the best player in the draft, so you do whatever you can to get him, but we don't really think that's a likely scenario.
Now, what happens if, let's play this hypothetical game all the way out. What happens if you go to six and Adrian Peterson's on the board?
Go to six and Peterson's on the board?
That's a tough guy to pass up.
I know, but the thing is, if you're going to six, you're going to get somebody.
Right, but that's a trade that, again, in our little hypothetical world.
I'll take Adrian Peterson in 2 seconds.
Okay.
2 seconds. I'll take Adrian Peterson. No problem.
Get rid of the old news, not durable Lawrence Maroney. We have short memories around here.
Okay, yeah. And Sean McLaughlin, 4:15, the Cowboy game. So that's probably a Fox game, right? It's in Dallas.
So, no, it's a
reverse. I always get that.
The visiting team has the has the network, and Gary has done a fine job printing out the schedule.
Oh, good work.
You're
Gary.
The best,
good
Gary.
Work.
I take back everything negative.
So the biggest game of the year is October 14th at Dallas, Texas Stadium, 4:15.
Two primetime games in the first month and three primetimes in the last six.
Andy, I like this homestand at the end of the year. We got the Eagles at home, then we go to the Ravens, then we got the Steelers, Jets, Dolphins at home, then at the Giants. That's nice right there.
Plus,
real nice. And then the bye week is 2 weeks before that. And at Buffalo, that doesn't even count as a game.
Well, plus the trip to Baltimore and New York, those flights are like an hour each.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. PFW, NFL Network game, that is.
You're the best, Gary.
Saturday the 29th, that's an NFL
Network
game.
I'm trying to find this quick. Where's the tough part of the schedule? I'm looking.
Okay.
Schedule looks a lot easier now that I look at it. Redskins, that's a win. Browns, that's a win. Dolphins, that's a win. Bills, that's a win.
Well,
in 13 games.
Eagles, Ravens, Steelers, Jets. Is a potentially decent stretch.
Yeah, even though three of the four are at home, that's going to be tough. And even the Giants there at the end, they might be fighting for the division there. You know, you don't know where they're going to be. So, yeah, that
and
is
And then
tough.
You got a short week between Ravens Steelers.
And here's a tough little – here's the tough part right here, Andy. October 14th at Dallas, that's a tough game. Then you get your annual at Miami the week later. That's always tough. So then you get the Redskins at home, then you get at the Colts. So that's and I know Patriot fans are going to be pointing this out quickly, so let me beat you to it. The Patriots have two out of the three games before the Colts are on the road, and then they got to go to Indianapolis. So.
And plus it's a what? It's a four out of six game stretch on the road.
Yeah.
Although there's a bye week in there.
So that's where it looks like it's going to get tough right there, because the Cowboys are always good at home. You know that the Dolphins are going to play the Patriots tough at home, and the Colts, we know what they bring to the table.
And there's a chance, by the way, that Sunday night Eagles game might not be a Sunday night game, because that's part of flex scheduling.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles game is Sunday night.
That could get bumped
out
of there.
Oh, there's two in a row, huh? Sunday and then Monday there. I wasn't listening to you. So the Patriots have what right now? They have five? Yes, one.
Scheduled
two,
for five
primetime
games.
Primetime games. So this is a decent schedule. I like the looks of this
Mondays,
thing.
Two Mondays, two Sundays, and a Saturday.
I like the looks of it.
But you look at it, you know, in terms of the Monday night game. Where's that? Monday night
By
game.
By the way,
the short week.
They can find the schedule on the website.
Okay, the schedule is on the website if you'd like to see it. The thing I really like about this schedule, I like the bye week being November 11th.
Well,
that's
you have
big.
It. Yeah, that's a good time.
That's a good time to have a bye.
If you were ideally, you might say, hey, let's have it the week before the Colts instead of the week right after it. But
that's going to be an emotional
timing,
game either
yep.
way. So you get a week to kind of recuperate, even if you win
get
or
two
lose.
Weeks, because then you
yeah,
play the Bills.
True. And, I mean, the Bills don't even come close. I mean, they have a better chance to beat the Patriots here in New England, because for some reason in Buffalo, that's like the Patriots' second home.
And if you look at it, the first month is a relatively tough month. When you go at the Jets, San Diego, at Cincinnati, two primetime games. So you're going to get tested a little bit pretty early in the season.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you right now, I hate to put my confidence in them, because I don't think they have any character or any mental toughness, but I got a feeling that's not a good time to get Cincinnati, because if they fold, it'll be at the end of the year. I think they're going to come out of the gate strong this year. So that's a that could be a bad time to get them early in the year like that. But that'll be a good game. I mean, I love this schedule.
I think it's a nice schedule. There's some tough games on there. I don't think there's any ridiculously tough stretches. The other side of that, I don't think there's any ridiculously easy stretches.
No. In my opinion, the three toughest games are at Dallas, at Indianapolis, and at Baltimore. Those are the three toughest, in my opinion. I mean, maybe Cincinnati, too. I know that the Cowboys play so much better at home than they do on the road. If the Cowboys were coming here, I wouldn't think they'd have a chance in hell to beat the Patriots. But in Dallas, I think they get a chance.
So basically, you're set up where you need to play pretty good football from the onset, and you got to play pretty good football the entire season. You don't necessarily have to peak at any one point because it's consistently difficult but not unmanageable. I think it's an interesting schedule. There's no boring stretches in here except for the two games against the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, you have at the Jets, Mangini, good game, playoff rematch, San Diego, playoff rematch, primetime, screw the Bills. At the Bengals, another primetime game.
Even the Browns game, because I'll tell you, that's one of my teams to watch. Because the Browns played a lot of close games last year, and if they can get that quarterback situation taken care of, and I'm not saying they're going to come in here and beat the Patriots, but they're an interesting team. Plus, you got the Romeo Crennel factor, which adds to the game. And then,
plus, it's early in the year, so they're going to have a chance.
Right.
By December, they may have packed it in, and it may be the end of the Romeo Crennel era. But at that point, the fifth game of the season, they're still going to have a chance. They might be having Adrian Peterson. I mean, they're a talented young team.
I think if you look at the end of the schedule, that you make a good point about that. So after the bye week, at the Bills, they'll be out of it. But then you got the Eagles. On paper, they should be pretty good, so they could still be in it. The Ravens should still be in it.
Yep.
The Steelers, they're
going to be better than last year. Everything went wrong last year. It's not going to go
wrong.
Here,
they could be in it. The Jets, whether they're in it or not, that's going to be a battle. The Dolphins will probably be out of it. It's at New England. That looks like a win. But then you get that wild card game at the Giants. What if the Giants need that to get in the playoffs, you know, and then you're at New York, so... Good, tough schedule. This will battle test the Patriots pretty good, get them ready for the playoffs, except those two games against the Bills. Ah, the poor Bills. I'll tell you what, after last year's crap with that NFC North, I couldn't be more excited looking at this thing. I just, as a sports writer, when you're sitting there in Green Bay, and after the first two series, you know what that game's going to be, like the Minnesota game. As a writer, it stinks because you've lost the intrigue. These games all have intrigue.
They have, what, six games against new coaches? You got the Chargers, the Cowboys, Dolphins twice, Steelers. So you got some new coaching matchups, I guess. You want to look at it that way?
Yep.
There's some interesting matchups here. So at Dallas, at Miami, that's a tough stretch. Three of four on the road against two potential playoff contenders. The Dolphins, always a tough matchup. You know, that is a tough stretch.
The Bills really got to screw me. That November 18th is going to be like that Ohio State-Michigan weekend. You really got to hate the Bills. Everything about Buffalo stinks.
But webradio at patriots.com, email some thoughts in on the schedule.
Yeah,
moments ago.
What you think. Let us know what you think the three toughest games are. My picks are the Cowboys, the Colts, and the Ravens, all on the road, all playoff-caliber teams. Those are my three toughest games. What are yours?
The Colts, definitely, because I think that's a tough matchup. The Colts are a good team. These teams have battled. They know each other. The Ravens matchup, I think that back-to-back week, two very physical football teams in the Ravens and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks. The Steelers will be a short week, so even though it's at home, there's a little bit of an added change there. So I think that's a very tough stretch, so I'll put those two in there. At Ravens, obviously always a tough game because it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be a slugfest. There's going to be a couple plays that
in
change
Baltimore,
the game.
I mean, they're like Dallas. They play at home. You know it's going to be tough. If they came here, I think the Patriots would have an easier time with them.
So I'm going to put that in there. Ravens-Steelers back-to-back weeks because of the potential physicality. And, again, I know the Steelers have a new coach and are coming off a disappointing season, but I think they have a lot of talent or a decent amount of talent on that roster. And I think
if they don't, the coach will just play.
Yeah,
he was the best-looking prospect at the Combine.
Tom talking about looks again.
No, I'm saying he walked in, and I was like, hey, this guy looks like a pretty good prospect.
He does.
Who's he? He was a coach for the Steelers.
I liked his attitude.
Yeah,
he was the anti-Lane Kiffin. I think he's got a chance.
And now,
except for how he coached for the Vikings.
Now, enlighten me on this. Is it 3-4? Is it Tampa 2? What's going on?
Hasn't said. They won't go on the record. They're being sort of
Belichick-like. I think you got to go 3-4.
I would stay 3-4. I think the talent's in place.
I know they got Polamalu. I know he would be a good safety in that scheme, but Pittsburgh is an aggressive defense. I just think some teams, they build around something that they've always been, and they've always had that aggressive defense. You lay back in Pittsburgh, you might have a short
coaching
career.
It actually sounds like he wants to be a little more multiple, where he wants to be able to do different things, maybe a little Belichick-like. And, oh, wow, they came out in a four-man front. They came out in a three-man front. So it sounds like he may end up being more multiple and not stick with any one scheme. But I agree with you. They're a 3-4 team. I think they're set up to be that way. I think they should stay that way for now.
All right. Ravi wants to know what's going on with the punters. He's what's up with retaining Todd Sauerbrunn and working out Sepulveda? Is BB enamored with collecting punters as John Gruden is with quarterbacks? Please enlighten me.
Well, the Sauerbrunn thing is now in the courts because the Patriots matched, apparently, the offer that the Broncos gave Sauerbrunn, and now the NFLPA is filing some sort of grievance. The Patriots will be represented by the league's lawyers and management council. They're going to have a deliberation or arbitration, whatever you want to call it, in Boston to decide whether the Patriots, the inclusion of the right of first refusal in the contract they gave Sauerbrunn, whether that was legal and appropriate and all that. Sauerbrunn has said he wants to be a Bronco. He doesn't want to be here. He said he hoped the Patriots didn't match, wants to go back to be with the Broncos. I think it's interesting because you have Josh Miller. You gave him a $100,000 bonus this spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether you're just, you know, pissing the money away and you really have an open competition, or you're looking for just insurance in case. I personally think his head is a little screwed up over the last year or so. I think his confidence went down the crapper, and I think he has some mental issues. But if they have Sauerbrunn, I'd be shocked if they drafted Sepulveda. Because now you just, I don't get it.
And I mean, that guy's got a cannon for
right.
a leg. But
now, I personally think they should have just let Sauerbrunn go, because I think he's a headache waiting to mm-hmm. happen everywhere he goes. And I was intrigued by Sepulveda, drafting him fifth round, giving him a chance to compete
with
Miller. He can kill the ball. But you're just not going to have two veterans and a draft pick competing for a job. There's just not enough kicks to go around the preseason to make a decision. So, you know, I found it quizzical the way they matched the Sauerbrunn thing. It'll be interesting to see how the litigation plays out. But if they keep him, I think you can take Sepulveda off the draft radar.
Yeah. Well, Ben from Boxborough, another good email from him. I'm glad he brought this up. He says, lately I've been seeing a lot of people dropping Alan Branch into the late teens and Ryan Khalil going to the Pats at 28. Are these really possibilities? You said that Branch was dominant. Well, first, take the center out, because he's not coming
right
here. So that mock draft is stupid.
Yes.
Alan Branch, as Andy and I have spoken this week with each other about, has got to be the biggest douchebag on the face of the earth.
It's the only,
because you watch this guy on tape, I mean, He's in that next class, in my opinion, after Johnson and Peterson and Landry. This guy is dominant. He was the key figure in that Michigan defense. And I hate this thing where they say 300-pound defensive tackles took plays off in college. Of course they did, because they were beating Indiana 38-0.
Right.
They were beating Northwestern 45-0.
Right.
He's 300 and some pounds. He's going up against inferior competition. All those guys take plays off.
And the other question is, why are all these defensive linemen from Michigan taking plays off? What's going on with the coaching up there? Gabe Watson, all I heard about was, you know, great upside and talent, takes plays off, mental. What's going on there?
And, well, we know that answer, or Lloyd Carr can't coach. But Branch on tape, when he wants to play, is as good as there is. As good as there is. So he must be a real jerk when it comes to interviewing. He must have rubbed teams the wrong way, because there's no way a guy with his talent would drop. Because as much as I like that Okoye, he's not as good as Branch on the field yet. And he's a guy who people love because he's got the right attitude. He wants to work hard.
And the projection.
And the projection. And my guess is that he's impressed people personally, where Branch has totally rubbed people the wrong way.
Right.
This guy's on the board at like 18, 19, 20. You're stealing now.
Right.
If I was the Patriots, I'd take him in a second. I'd just throw him on the field. Find a spot for him.
I don't know if I would.
I'd start trading people. Get rid of Wilfork. I don't care. Give me Branch.
Now we're going to trade a guy who's proven for a guy who believe is a punk.
And I'm also not sold that he will drop. I think once the draft starts and you get to 12 and you look at Alan Branch on the board, like say you're Miami and you're or Houston and you're looking at Alan Branch,
it's easier to pass up. It's easier for Tom Casale making a mock draft to say, yeah, Branch is slipping, I don't like his attitude, than a guy who needs a defensive lineman whose career is on the line with a top 10 draft pick to just pass on a guy who could be an all-pro.
Right.
There's a big difference there.
Luis, Andy Sucks is the subject of his email. He says, hello,
so
A-
your mom.
says, hello, A-Team and Frank. What is your take on the Peter King-Gil Brandt debate over whether Wes Welker is or isn't part of a championship?
Apparently
team?
You're deaf, too, because you
well,
didn't listen.
Well, I think this was sent on Tuesday, so that was my fault. I just wanted to read it because it said Andy sucks.
So who was that? Jeremy?
Luis.
Luis? So's your mom. I'm going to get that in there one more time.
Okay, this is Alex. He says, what's the latest on Tom Brady's situation? Are the Patriots including more plays using max protection? Put me on the Tom Casale bandwagon. He is very persuasive. Although those $100 I ended up laying on the Buccaneers still hurt. Hey, you win some, you lose some. What do you want?
Usually you lose more than you win.
the
Brady thing, I mean, they've gone
anywhere.
Max protect. No, the question was about protection, wasn't it?
Oh, right.
Yeah, they've gone max protect. They've had issues. I mean, that was a big issue last year, talking about even when they called, you know, certain protections, his knowing where the free rusher might come from and getting rid of the ball and not getting blindsided. I truly believe there was some thoughts within that, you know, he was sort of at fault for some of those, the Kerry Rhodes and the Buffalo one. You know, I think they kind of thought he was at fault for some of that. Now, the interesting question, and this was posed, I think, in Ask PFW, is Matt Light has lost his half-tackle friend, Daniel Graham. Question is how that'll affect, you know, they were very comfortable putting Graham with Light against elite rushers. See who they, you know, if Kyle Brady, everybody says Kyle Brady is, you know, a tackle in his own right. So my guess is there won't be that much of a drop-off, but it is a little bit of a change and, there and a key spot, I guess.
I'm going to give you a few names why that might be important here, Andy. Sean Merriman, Aaron Schobel, DeMarcus Ware, Jason Taylor, Dwight Freeney, whatchamacallit from the Ravens. Oh, Suggs from the Ravens.
Javon Kearse, is he coming back?
Javon Kearse. I mean, they play, again, a lot of speed. Wow. Cameron Wimbley.
Jason Taylor, we all know Paul said he's overrated, so don't need to worry about him.
Yeah, but now you got Joey Porter, too, to worry about. So, but Paul don't like him either. So,
that's
true. Cameron Wimbley, though, another guy.
Yep.
I mean, you're looking at a lot of speed rushers again. Light's had trouble with that. Now, he did control Merriman in the playoff
No question.
Game,
and so, he controlled Kearse a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. He owns
yes.
him.
So
he's had his best games at times against some of those guys. But he's also had his worst games at times against some of those guys.
So it'll be interesting. Now, Liam wants to know, with the constant below bashing on PFW in progress, I think it's only fair that you guys let him come on the show once in a while to defend himself.
That's not fair to you as listeners.
And it's not fair.
Boring!
It's not fair to us because we'll slap him around even worse on the air. I mean, you think we get on Frank? Wait till we tear into Belo. I mean,
and Belo doesn't take it as well as Frank does.
No, he does not. All right.
Yeah, we don't need Belo on this show unless, of course, somebody's by themselves and really needs somebody to fill air. That's when we call Belo. Boy, can he fill air with the best of them.
Well, he's a lot of hot air. I know that. Joe from Winnipeg. He says, hey, guys, still enjoying the off-season podcast. The best part of the off-season was listening to Tom play Tecmo Bowl last week. Now, that's good radio. I'm still undecided about this Frank guy. Kind of a homer. Reminds me of that guy who used to host the show. Boy, these emails have been excellent this week. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. He says, the reason I'm emailing in is my wife recently bought a Tom Brady autographed jersey for my birthday. She had it framed for me and everything.
Nice.
However, then they had the jersey signed some genius However, when they had the jersey signed, some genius decided to put the sticker that corresponds with the certificate of authenticity directly below the signature. Right on the lower part of the one. I don't know what. Oh, on Brady, so you can't see it. It stood out when they were framing it, so my wife had them remove the sticker, and it predictably disintegrated. It's not a huge deal for me, as I'm never going to sell the jersey, but couldn't they put the sticker somewhere that it wouldn't be seen when you display the jersey? Is this done through the Patriots organization, or does Brady do this on the side? If this has anything to do with Ken Flanders, please give him the finger for me the next time you see him.
You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Was it purchased at the Pro Shop?
It doesn't say.
They do sell autographed merchandise in the Pro Shop. And if it was purchased in the Pro Shop, yes, then Ken Flanders is indeed responsible. So call him. Gary, can we effort to get him on this?
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
He's never there.
Okay, D'Annunzio. Dave DiNunzio. He says, hey, Frank, keep making bold predictions about what the Patriots are going to do. First you come back from China and the game is canceled. Then you tell the Patriots to do it regarding matching the offer for Sauerbrunn. Apparently they did it. Anyways, guys, do you think the Pats might take Leak with one of their late-round selections? He's a decent-looking quarterback. I know his arm strength isn't the best, but he's smart, poised, and humble. Would he fit as a fifth- or sixth-round selection? Well, I was a Chris Leak fan the whole time he was at Florida, and I thought he could probably come in the NFL and his height wouldn't be that big of an issue. But when you factor in the height and his just total lack of arm strength, I think it's going to be very hard for him to be successful in the NFL, and that pains me to say because I've always defended him and I've always liked him. I just don't see him as a great fit.
I like him too. I think he got kind of screwed at Florida, but when you watch some of his throws, the ball is in the air forever. He just doesn't have an NFL arm. And when again, if he had the size and the arm was the only thing, maybe you take a chance. But lacking size and arm strength, plus, you know, Bill's buddy Urban Meyer is the guy who decided that Leak was so good that he needed to split some time and bring in that T-bone to run the ball every once in a while. So, you know, I'd be interested. I'm not sure what Urban Meyer would tell Bill Belichick about Chris Leak in an honest setting. So I'd be very surprised if Chris Leak was a draft pick for the Patriots.
Okay, well, Gherkin has chimed in, and he's mad.
Pickle!
He's mad because we haven't been reading his questions lately. Well, that's all Frank.
That's all Frank.
he says,
you're
guys,
my favorite pickle man.
You guys are getting too popular, I guess. Well, he wants to take a look at his mock draft. So,
send us lunch, and that's a guarantee that we talk about you next week.
So I'll go through his mock draft. You tell me what you think. He's traded the number 24 pick to Tampa Bay for 35 and 64.
Not a bad trade.
28, Brandon Merriweather. 35, Lamar Woodley. 64, David Harris. He won't be there.
No.
Stuart Bradley at 91, Michael Coe at 127, Dwayne Wright, the running back from Fresno State at 153, Courtney Taylor at 171, Mike Otto, tackle guard at 208, Jeff Rowe, the quarterback from Nevada at 209, and Keith Jackson, the defensive tackle from Arkansas at 247. I don't think he'll be on the board that late.
But that's a lot of guys we like.
Yeah.
There's lot of guys in there that we, for different reasons, you know, Stuart Bradley's a guy I like.
I actually can't
combine.
Think of one guy on there that we don't
Courtney
like.
Courtney Taylor's a guy we talked about, everybody raving about his route running at the combine. Mm-hmm. David Harris, I think, is a monster at middle linebacker, maybe a two-down player.
But
I'm
he
not
certainly
sure.
Won't be there that late.
I don't think so. Woodley's a guy we raved about. Not sure how you'd use him, but the guy makes plays on the football field and looks like he shot out of a cannon at the snap of the ball, so I like him. Who was the first one? What was the first overall, the 28th pick?
Oh, Merriweather.
Merriweather, not as high on, but I don't think he's a bust by any means, just probably not the guy I would go with, but I think he's going to be a pretty good player and offers you a lot of versatility in terms of coverage. So, yeah, I have no problem with that draft. I just don't know how likely it is.
I mean, I love Woodley. I love him, and I can't believe if he's there, like, after the first round's over, if Lamar Woodley's on the board, I think that's criminal.
Well,
I just don't understand football, I guess, because this guy's a machine.
And plus, if you get that draft, now you've got Woodley, who's a whatever you project him as, Stuart Bradley, who I kind of think can play, and David Harris. You've added some youth and some talent to linebackers, some guys that maybe you could project as starters down the road. You definitely sort of shook up that unit.
And Harry from North Carolina, he's back from Afghanistan and loving it. And he's talking about NFL draft countdown. Their mock draft has the Patriots taken Posluszny and Brian Leonard. And as I said, let's be honest, that's just flat out racism. That's just giving them two white guys. I mean, seriously,
apparently Don Imus,
Brian Leonard at 28. You were saying, well, I'm either going to give him Leonard or Anthony Gonzalez. That's what you were saying at that point. I mean, come on. If the Patriots take Brian Leonard at 28, I'll die laughing. He is not. Do you think he's the 28th best player in the draft? Let's be honest here.
He's a very good third round pick.
I just don't understand football, I guess.
Can you cut the I guess off the end of that? Just do. I don't really understand football.
Okay. Wayne says, will the sheriff be barred? Will all PFW staff be barred from the NFL? He said in an article, NFL strengthens personnel conduct policy. There is a statement under discipline that I thought should be brought to your attention. Club and league employees will be held to a higher standard than players. Between the steroid allegations, the commission says convictions not required, against Tom and Andy, Frank's FCC violations, I only said what they wrote, copyright infringement by Gary, and Tom's expected drunk and disorderly and disturbing the peace wedding reception, we Patriots Nation are going to lose our favorite webcast. How could you do that to us? I am so glad that the NFL is going to hold you minimum wagers to a higher standard than multi-billionaire players. I hope the show stays as entertaining. A show with only the kinder, gentler Paul just wouldn't be as good.
I'm not going to go out there and crap my pants.
On a serious note, I'm glad they are instituting a stricter conduct rule, but I am concerned about the conviction not required attitude that got Pac-Man a stiffer punishment. I'm happy. I'm glad. I mean, how many chances does Pac-Man Jones want? Seriously.
Right, and his mother's complaining that it's unfair. She hopes it can get changed. Why is it unfair? The guy's a punk, and he's been in trouble too many times.
I'm even willing to go if you get in trouble twice, maybe once you were a jerk and one time you just had bad luck and ended up in the wrong spot. But after two times, if you're making $1 million and after getting in trouble twice, you can't figure out you need to go in a different direction, I say see you later. Let someone else have your job.
I agree.
I mean, there's plenty of guys who can play cornerback. Maybe not as good as Pac-Man Jones, but...
That's okay. They'll find somebody.
Okay. This is... Say something.
I was thinking that.
Okay,
it's interesting.
It's hard. Just for point of reference, when you send emails and they're long and you don't put any spaces, like any new paragraphs, they're hard to read because it's all one big, huge paragraph. And I don't. Oh, this is from Tony Donato. Sorry, Tony, but next time just give a space here and there. He says, as I was perusing yesterday's Ask PFW, I came upon a statement from a writer that needs to be debunked. That Tom Brady took a hometown discount on his contract and is underpaid. In last month's issue of Pro Football Weekly, which is birdcage material compared to the true PFW Weekly, the salaries of quarterbacks were published, and for the second year in a row, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL was Tom Brady, more so than the Wonder Boy Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Also, I believe Michael Felger wrote an article a few years ago that said Brady's contract was comparable to the big boys in terms of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
This issue irritates me only because it perpetuates the myth that the Patriots don't pay their players top dollar.
Give me a break.
Also, could you guys let me know by email or on the radio your favorite types of pizza, as I would like to treat you to lunch next week.
Yes.
I believe I will be able to place a phone order to Papa Gino's near Gillette Stadium and have them deliver it to you.
Yes.
And can you tell Tom that I will include a significant tip, since I don't want him to relive his Ben Watson nightmare. Keep up the great work, and I'm looking forward to your excellent draft day broadcast. Well, thank you, Tony. We appreciate it. Andy will eat anything.
Paul, Andy, and Frank like pepperoni pizza and boneless buffalo wings.
And
Tom likes a turkey sub.
Hey, Andy.
And large men.
I deleted it by accident. Someone said they saw me on Patriots Today and said, turkey subs my ass. You're eating pizza and wings. Well, I'm looking good. I mean, that's bulk, baby. That's bulk. I'm huge. I'm doing 305 again on the incline. That's all muscle right there. What do you mean?
Boy, never have truer words been said than Tom Curran at the Combine saying, Tom Casale's quite the braggart, no?
Well, come on. If I'm fat, I'll tell you I'm fat. Last year I came back from the doctors, and what did I say?
Whoa, you argued with me for like 3 months saying you
I was in
fat.
Denial. And then I came back. Bulk, baby. That's bulk. I'm huge. I said, Andy Hart, you're right. I said, I am a fat slob, and I need to do something about it. And I haven't been fat since. You know, this guy's making fun of me, saying I need to lose weight. I mean, come on. I'm a big guy.
Plus, when you look like us, sometimes on TV it looks fat than...
He is. No, I do agree with that. When you see us on TV, sometimes I notice Andy and I look like we're fatter than Paul, and trust me, we're not fatter than Paul. and I was sitting next to Bilo, so...
Paul's as soft as they come. Right around the middle. He's got that 1 foot ring of fat.
Okay, what is this going on?
Gary, why are you shaking your head?
I got a cat wagging
He's not
a tail.
Here.
He says, do you think the NFL will ever do like what Major League Baseball does? They stream games over the internet. That way you don't, even if you don't live in the city where your favorite team plays, you can still watch them live.
That's a Frank question. Frank is actually at the meetings as we speak where they discuss those issues. Gary might be able to chime in, but I don't think so.
I don't believe that they can do that, no.
I would say no. The NFL is very strict with
plus,
the television
it's
stuff.
It's a big deal because of the DirecTV. They want people that want to see the games to pay whatever it is, $250, $350 bucks to DirecTV to get the Sunday ticket. And then you can watch any game you want.
Yep. Jay from the UK, he's on the same page as us. He says, why is it that when Bill Belichick is given two first-round picks, so many people assume he'll be like a pyromaniac with matches? I doubt the guy is that retarded that he'll draft players like Brian Leonard, Eric Weddle, Ryan Khalil just because he can take a risk. We totally agree with you, Jay. He said, also, this whole supposed zone blocking change to accommodate Maroney's running style, wouldn't it be quite possible that Joe Staley is a target with his athleticism being a former tight end and all? Finally, won't it be pretty difficult to make an offensive line change with the big uglies on the current line?
No.
They don't look overly athletic, and I'm wondering which of the starters, possible draftees, that you think would make the transition best?
Well, first of all, the Patriots have done a lot of zone blocking in recent years, and all of their guys, I mean, Dan Copen's an undersized center, is relatively athletic. Stephen Neal is as athletic as they come. Logan Mankins, pretty athletic. Matt Light, athletic. They don't have any of these 335-pound beasts, mauler types.
Hi there.
Russ Hochstein is undersized and athletic. I would say maybe O'Callaghan is a little bit under-athletic for a zone-blocking, quote-unquote, scheme.
Yeah, I would say
I just
so.
Don't think it's as big a change as people are trying to make it out to be. Maybe that'll be a little different, but they've been closer to a Denver Broncos zone-blocking type line than not in recent years, so I don't think it's a dramatic change. Now, Staley would clearly fit in, not just because he's an athlete and whatever they're going to do, but because some people believe he can be a franchise tackle. And then the final thing in there, the reaching late in the round, I find that interesting because I did a story for the current PFW that talked about the ability to trade and what you can do, and I talked to Mel Kiper for it, and I talked to Chuck Fairbanks. And Chuck Fairbanks was adamantly opposed to reaching or you have two picks so you can take a chance, any of that. He said those are just too valuable. Late in the first round or not, those are just too valuable. Those are some of those valuable chips you have, he said. Mel Kiper went the other way. He said, yes, late in the first round, especially when you have two, you can take a chance. You can reach on a guy. He said Logan Mankins is the perfect example. Shouldn't have been a first-round pick, but the Patriots could not have gotten him later in the second round, so they reached. And he's a good player for them, and no one cares that they reached. He wasn't a bust.
But
he's value.
My opinion, though, on a reach, don't you think it would be like David Harris at 28? If you think like he's – because he won't be there in round three, obviously.
Right.
But in my opinion, Eric Weddle, that's a reach.
Right.
That is a freaking reach. If you're taking Eric Weddle over guys like Griffin and Merriweather, in my opinion, you've reached. That's because I think there's different definitions of a reach. I think if you reach for a guy like a David Harris who you love and you know is going to go 10 to 20 picks later, I'm okay with it. But if you're taking Eric Weddle with what I believe are much better players on the board, to me, that's a reach that you shouldn't be.
I agree with you in the Weddle thing and that, but I don't consider it a reach if they love a player, and I think that's the Mankins thing. They loved him. They said, this guy can be a starter on our offensive line for 10 years. You know what? If you are sure of that, then I don't care. Draft him. If you get me a starter at linebacker, a starter at safety, a starter at corner, I don't care. Just make sure you're right, because otherwise, you know, in 3 years, we're going to rip the pick.
Okay, Aaron, he says, I'm listening to the show, and I heard you mention there are many
communists in Boston that run the Red Sox?
Many new coaches on next year's schedule. Do you think it's an advantage for the Patriots to face all these new coaches on the 2007 schedule?
No. I think Bill Belichick is very good when he knows an opponent. So I don't necessarily think it's an advantage. Now, it might be an advantage in that a first-year coach is changing personnel, changing systems, you know, putting all his things in place, and the team won't be as good. But I think in just terms of a comparison of two coaches and the matchup, I like Bill Belichick's chances when he knows an opponent pretty well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It seems like if he doesn't know a coach, he can't dissect him like he does when he's played him a bunch of times.
It's the same thing with quarterbacks. I think when he doesn't know a quarterback, sometimes they give him problems. As soon as he gets a feel for what a quarterback can and can't do, I think he's better prepared to scheme against him.
Okay, Eric, his subject is national anthem. It pains me to hear that the national anthem was not played before the Red Sox game.
Boycott
I
Boston.
I agree with Andy. We should all just move to China with Frank.
Yes, this is ridiculous. The national anthem is a tradition. We are in America. We've lost enough of our American traditions. The national anthem needs to be played at every sporting event. Call, send emails, complain to the Boston Red Sox. Gary, can you get me that information? Can you give me a Red Sox main number where I can send people to call to rip them? Because that's an embarrassment to New England. I mean, let's be honest. America started basically on the East Coast, in New England, the colonies, the Revolutionary War. It's all right here. And they don't play the frickin' national anthem at a Red Sox game? That's an embarrassment.
Andy Hart is not happy about this.
I mean, people are too busy making fun of Imus and trying to get Imus fired to realize that the country's going down the pooper and they're not playing the national anthem. Leave Imus alone and spend some time worrying about the country in general, not one old, washed-up, senile old man who's not funny anymore and doesn't bring anything to society.
877-RED-SOX-9.
877-RED-SOX-9. Call it and complain.
Tell them Andy Hart sent you.
No, don't do that.
John.
Because then somebody from the Red Sox will call Kraft and I'll be out.
John is listening in Denmark, and he says, just a quick note about the NFL streaming games live. The games are available online for international
right.
fans only for $250 for the whole season.
Holy crap.
So,
$250 to watch a game on a computer?
That's tough. This isn't Northeastern. You know what I'm saying?
Holy Moses. I'd rather just go to a bar and watch it on that. What is that channel they all told us about? Sky 5 or Sky...
Who?
Something. There's some channel that shows a lot of Patriots games over in Britain and Scotland and all those places. I'd much rather watch a game at a bar with people than on the Internet. If I'm on the Internet, no. That's
I don't like watching stuff. I mean, I watch the tournament games on the Internet, you know, because I was...
Terrible.
But it's not the... It's just,
and we're not there yet.
No.
We're just not...
No.
Eventually, Fred tells me, you know, through my Internet connection, it'll go to my TV and it'll
yeah.
be crystal clear. Well, when that point comes, then I'll be watching stuff on the Internet.
Mac in Somerville, he says, now that Pac-Man has been suspended for a full year, the Titans don't have to pay him his $1.6 million in base salary.
Right.
And from what Florio is saying, they might go after a portion of his bonus money, too.
Right.
So suddenly the Titans get this windfall of $1.6 million added to their cap this year. Now they could use that money to go out and get a pretty decent replacement for Pac-Man. My question is, in this new era of the excuse me.
Did you swallow something?
My throat went dry. New era of the Goodell NFL. Shouldn't the team that didn't do its due diligence and drafted a turd not be granted this backdoor windfall
anyway.
And be held more accountable for their players' off-field
wow.
actions?
I don't know.
So
about
he's
that.
Mad that they're getting the money from Pac-Man.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's tough to argue. I mean, they need to know everything about a player, and they're held 100% responsible for a player being a screw-up. I mean, there's guys on this team that could get in trouble. Are you going to make the same claim when a Patriot gets suspended and they get a little money back? And let's be honest, do they really gain more than they lose? They
yeah.
lose a pretty good player. A guy who's a lightning-fast playmaker as a returner.
The only reason they were even in the game
right.
against the Patriots.
So I don't think they really gain in the end here. They lose a player, a very good player.
Okay, again with the NFL games on the Internet. Thanks, Andy. Josh T.
Wait, I didn't do it. The guy asked.
He said, I just got Verizon FiOS.
FiOS.
FiOS TV at Internet the other day. What the hell is that?
It's Verizon's new cable, but it's supposed to be way better than Comcast.
Then why don't I have it?
Because it's only in like select markets. It's slowly creeping
Monopoly.
Out.
Monopoly.
And you can't afford it, probably.
I can afford it.
It's expensive.
Gary, listen to me right now. When it comes to TV... I can afford anything. I'll sacrifice
the clothes, but the football.
I'll sacrifice clothing,
food,
and anything else I have to. If you're going to give me good TV, there's no price you can put on that. And Internet the other day, the install tech told me that Verizon streams video to their customer homepage of several, possibly five or six, out-of-market games. He said the really cool part is they offer three or four cameras you can choose from, and while the game goes to break for commercials, you can go to the sideline cam and see what's going on with the coaches and players. Now, I can tell you that right there is not true. So,
I think the whole thing is
yeah.
a lie. I think it was a sales
pitch. He
says,
I'm looking forward to it. He said, Vios is not available everywhere, but if you can get it, it might be good to see some of the crappier Pats matchups. You won't be hearing anything the coaches or the players say ever.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless you're watching it on the HBO thing after it's already done.
Right. NFL Films, HBO, all that crap. But
during the game, you certainly won't.
I just
as long as Bill Belichick is breathing, I can guarantee you won't hear anything.
I'm not sure the other part's even accurate. I don't think they have games on Verizon's
I don't page. Either. I'd have to check into that. That's a Frank question.
Yeah, that's a Frank. Well, Frank's... See, the one week we need him to answer some
exactly.
questions...
Exactly.
Every other week, he's useless. He brings nothing to the program. The one week we have, like, four questions to ask him, he's off at some bigwig meeting.
Jack says, what are the chances that both Vinny T and Junior return for this year?
Zero.
Yeah, I think Junior became a great fit for the Pats' defensive scheme, and with Castle being such an unknown, do you think it would be a smart move to have Vinny or another veteran quarterback in the mix here? Love the show. Keep it going. Oh, yeah, I love the Tecmo Bowl skit. Hilarious.
Was it really a skit? It was Gary turning on a microphone and Tom being his idiotic self.
Should
have been recording today. It was even better.
I was going to say, you guys would be extremely happy if they ever filmed that because there's motions and things that I do during the game.
Tom's a far bigger loser than you ever imagined.
I'm sure they imagined it pretty. So what was the question?
I don't know.
I deleted the email. Oh, sorry.
play that. No one's listening anyway.
We got.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Gabe, in lieu of Mr. Goodell's new personal conduct policy, have you guys been able to overview the policy at all? Has he given it out to each team? And if so, what in it really stands out to you guys? I also heard that the commission is pretty much going to decide punishment for each case. How do you see that affecting our players?
I don't see it affecting these players. I mean, let's be honest. Not a lot of Patriots players have gotten into trouble with the law of late. They have to hear about things. They have to be on the record getting in trouble for the commissioner to get involved, and there aren't any. There's certainly no Patriots right now. I mean, is there anyone on the roster who has a significant criminal record? Dante Stallworth admitted he had a couple incidents, but he seems pretty confident that that's not going to become an issue. There aren't a lot of guys that have been getting in trouble on this team. So I don't think it'll be a big issue. Goodell does have pretty much seems like he has the power to do what he wants to do in the best interest of the league. I thought an interesting thing, and Mike Florio wrote a little bit about this, was the fact that if you appeal, the commissioner oversees the appeal. So the guy who made the ruling oversees the ruling. So he's not going to change his mind. So you essentially can't really appeal it.
Right. My buddy Eric, the stripper guy from Manchester, wants us to go over the schedule and pick the game. So we're going to take
Work, Foxwoods? I got a bachelor party I'm planning. Eric, send some information.
I'm not sure where he works, but I got to take a quick leak. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Jeez, I got to take a leak so bad I can taste it.
International superstar and soccer icon David Beckham is the newest member of Major League Soccer and will bring his world-class skills to Foxborough August 12th against your New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium. Get your tickets to this must-see event as part of the David Beckham 4-Pack. The 4-Pack includes the Revs home opener doubleheader on April 14th against Toronto FC and the U.S. Women's National Team FIFA World Cup tune-up against Mexico. Freddie Adu and his new team Real Salt Lake on June 2nd, a nationally televised match against the Kansas City Wizards, and the first ever visit of David Beckham to Gillette Stadium with the LA Galaxy on August 12th. The Revs 4-Pack featuring David Beckham. 4 dates, 5 games for just $72 with free parking makes New England Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your David Beckham ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And we're back. It's Tom Casale and Andy Hart.
See, we're still good Americans here. Yes, PFW
we're
Progress.
Still good Americans.
Patriots.com. We respect this country, what it was built on. We're not communists like the Red Sox playing opening day without an anthem. I'm embarrassed to say I've been a Red Sox fan all my life.
God bless you.
Well, before we'll go one more email before we go down the schedule. Andy's going to pick the season for us, so we don't have to watch it.
Okay, perfect.
This is from Rod. Rod from Quincy. Andy, you and others have recently been referring to Josh Miller having some psychological issues. Can you be more specific? That's probably not something you should just leave out there without further explanation.
That's crazy!
I know for a fact that when he started to be injured, and then they signed, which one did they sign first? Bogger?
Yeah.
They signed Danny Bogger to the practice squad. They told him it was insurance and that he would be gone as soon as Miller was healthy. Miller then came back, had that big game. I'm forgetting how exactly it unfolded, what the games were, but he had his best game and sort of, I think, went to Bill and Scott and said, you know, I'm feeling good, so I probably can let that Bogger kid go. And they didn't. And it affected him. And anyone who's ever spoken with him, he's a bit cerebral, maybe too cerebral for a specialist, because let's be honest, as a punter, guys get a lot of time to think. And when you start to lose your confidence, when you start to look over your shoulder, that's not always the best thing, to be left to yourself thinking and who's out to get me and what are they going to do. And I think he, at some points last year, thought there was a chance he was like a game away from being cut. And now you have two young punters on the roster and potentially a former all-pro punter on the roster in Sauerbrunn. Just different things he's said to me and to others. I think at times he's a bit of a head case, and I'd be interested to see how that plays out if there's a bit of a competition in training camp.
And that was Andy Hart, H-A-R-T.
That's right. I believe it. I'm saying it on the record. This isn't when Tom Casale was calling out Chad Jackson and was not given any info and just a flat-out witch hunt for Chad Jackson trying to ruin his career before it started.
Listen, you know damn well.
That's Tom Casale.
You know, well, first of all, as you were saying that, I was wondering if you should be saying it on the air as you were saying it to begin with. And second of all, there's certain things that we're not allowed to say because of our job responsibilities.
But this isn't one of them. I'll be honest with you. Josh Miller has confidence issues at times.
Yes, and what Chad Jackson did probably was one of them. So that's
All right, so what are we going to do? The schedule? Can I do it?
No, I'm going to go over it, and you're going to pick the winners.
Okay, pick a winner.
All right, hang on a second.
Doesn't matter. Okay. No one's listening anyway.
regular season. Open it
pick
up.
Pick a winner.
At the Jets, win or loss?
Win.
Okay, the San Diego Chargers.
Win.
Buffalo Bills.
Win.
At the Bengals.
Loss.
All right. Cleveland Browns.
Win.
The game of the year at a sold-out historic Texas stadium against the Dallas Cowboys.
Win.
Well, got one wrong. At the Dolphins.
Loss.
So you got those mixed up. The
Win.
Redskins.
Win.
At the Colts.
Loss.
So you think the Colts are going to beat them again, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Regular season, dominating streak continues.
At Buffalo.
Win.
Eagles.
Win.
At Baltimore.
Loss.
Steelers.
Loss.
Jets.
Win.
Dolphins.
Win.
At Giants.
Win.
So you, 1, 2, 3, you have them going 11-5, same as Mark.
Good football team.
So 11-5 is Andy Hart's prediction.
What's yours?
11-5.
Frank's is 16-0.
Yeah. Frank said 16-0.
Paul said 0-16.
You think Paul's listening?
No.
You don't think he's listening?
No.
I gotta say, I thought this show was much smoother without his babble.
I think it's tremendous. We're the A-team, even when Frank's here.
Frank, he certainly adds his own unique style.
No question. Sometimes you need that. You need a little unique viewpoint, and he's as unique as they come.
Although his unique viewpoint gets on my nerves during the draft.
Oh, yeah, no question. But his unique viewpoint during the draft is he reads our lads.
He's the only guy I know on the planet who thinks our lads is the Bible of draft. I mean, they're so bad when it comes to draft stuff, in my opinion. And Fred just sits there with his glasses on reading the our lads. That's a reach.
But it makes it enjoyable. It's a different...
So you're saying 11-5. That get them the AFC East title?
AFC East title.
All right.
No
bye. What seed? No bye. So third
seed.
Third seed in the AFC. How far in the playoffs?
Jeez, I'm projecting the whole freaking season
well,
now.
You might as well. You got the schedule.
I say they go out in the second round. Tough road game.
Out in the second round. Andy Hart down on this Patriots
team.
What
do you want from me? This is a tough schedule. When you play the Ravens Steelers, you're going to get beat up a little bit right there at the beginning of December. Could have some injuries. Lawrence Maroney could be banged up. Sammy Morris is starting in the backfield, and you expect me to pick them to go to the AFC title game?
I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl.
There's a shock.
Well, I am. I think they're the best team in football.
Number one seed in the AFC?
No. Schedule's too tough. I think they might get a 2 seed.
Gary, print me the Colts schedule. And the Denver Broncos schedule. Do it.
And again, like always, there'll be teams that are good that we don't think that are going to be good. That's going to happen every year. We're just going by what we kind of think
right now. And I have no idea. I mean, I think there's a lot of games there.
Yeah, like even the Browns, they don't get blown out much.
No.
They're usually hanging around. And if that could be one of those games where the Patriots aren't up for that we've seen before and they're kind of lethargic, is what's Fred's word? It's bogs down. The game bogs down at like 60.
What's the gabagoon?
So, I mean, every game's tough, but I like him to be the second or third seed in the AFC. And
That's huge. Second or third.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Big...
I think they'll get the second. I think they'll get the second.
Who's the number one seed?
Because the Cowboy game to me is up in the air right now. I got that as a loss now, but that whole thing could blow up, that Cowboy team.
No question.
They could be 0-6 at that point.
Tony Romo might stink by then.
I'm just going based on last year, the Cowboys playing at home. We saw what they did. You know, they beat the Colts at home. They're just a better team, and apparently, Wade Phillips has somewhat of at least a defensive-minded brain, and he's going to use Roy Williams near the line of scrimmage instead of in coverage, which would help that team. But
they should have a good defense.
If they win that game, I think 12-4 is possible, and then that means second seed AFC, run the gauntlet, easy.
So we're just going to cruise right through the Colts, Broncos in the postseason?
I don't even know if the Colts will be there.
Colts not going to? Gary, give me those schedules. Give me them.
Not the Broncos. But the Broncos have a young quarterback, so that gives advantage Patriots.
Okay. Well, can we all agree, or right now we think Colts, Patriots, Broncos, and Chargers are the four best teams?
I won't buy you on the Chargers.
Well, that's why I said and Chargers, because
Paul,
they're probably going to be
there.
I gotta wait.
I think
Fred thinks the Chargers.
But I think that's a team that could fall.
But let's look at, I have the Colts
schedule. I agree with you on the top three. I think those are the three best.
Colts have the Saints.
That's
pretty good team,
yeah,
but they could have a fallback.
That's a shootout.
At Tennessee, at Houston, a couple wins.
Whoa. Now all of a sudden we're giving at Tennessee a guaranteed win?
Yep.
Then I see Tennessee.
Vinsanity has a bit of a sophomore slump.
I just don't think you can give those out
more than anyone
wins.
But I'm sorry, I'm not sold on Lendale White and Vinsanity.
Kick the crap out of them.
All right, settle down. Then you got Denver Broncos. That's a tough game. Tough game.
I think Tennessee's a tough game.
Okay, you think Tennessee's a tough game. Homer, what are we, in the last 5 minutes of the show, suddenly Homer Casale's in there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's that?
That's a win.
Okay. I didn't know if you still had them in the Super Bowl.
No, not this year.
Then they have their bye in week 6. At Jacksonville, at Carolina.
That's two losses. Two tough teams running right down their throat.
I know they're two tough teams.
What else you got?
New England.
That's a loss.
At San Diego. So that's far, a ridiculous four. Month, by the way.
That's,
wait a minute.
I got four losses so far with possibly five if Tennessee beats
at
them.
At Jacksonville, at Carolina, host New England, at San Diego. That's
so
a tough
they
month.
Can't, now the Patriot fans can't complain about their pre...
As the guy from Anchorman says, that's re-goddamn
so who did they play before the Patriots?
Jacksonville and Panthers, both on the road.
So that's a three-game losing streak right there. Okay,
and then
so
they go to San Diego after the Patriots.
That's four-game losing
then
streak.
Then they host the Chiefs.
Okay, they'll win that.
Go to Atlanta, host the Jaguars. Oh, Jesus. After they host the Jaguars, they go to Baltimore. They
five.
Got a tough schedule, by the way. At Oakland, then Houston and Tennessee at home.
So I got them at best 11-5. I'm going to say 10-6. Colts go 10-6 on the year. You heard
like,
it first.
Like the Patriots... finish up with probably a three-game winning streak at Oakland, then hosting the Texans-Titans.
Mm-hmm.
They should win those games at home, no matter what you think of them, Homer Casale.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought the Titans were an up-and-coming team that lost to the Colts by 1 point in Indianapolis last year.
But I'm sorry that Vince Sanity going to struggle, and Lendale White's their starting running back.
No, he's not.
Now, let's go to the Broncos.
Michael Turner's
coming
their starting
the
running
end.
Back, and you know it.
I thought that hasn't happened yet.
It will.
I don't think that'll happen.
I'm taking over for Frank. It will. Do it.
Denver Broncos at Buffalo, host Oakland, so they get off to a nice start to the year, 2-0. Then they host Jacksonville.
That's a tough game.
Go to Indianapolis, host San Diego, host Pittsburgh with a bye in between. So that's a tough 1 month stretch there. Then Green Bay at Detroit.
Oh, they got that conference.
At Kansas City.
Four wins.
Tennessee. At Chicago,
that's
tough
a
game. It's a tough game.
They'll win. Chicago's going down this
year. At Oakland, Kansas City, Houston, at San Diego. The Broncos are winning the AFC, number one seed. Book it. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go Broncos 1, Patriots 2, Colts be lucky to make the playoffs.
And just so you know, Andy Hart just won a lunch from Tom Casale because the Broncos are in the AFC title game, baby.
And I got the 49ers in the NFC.
And I feel better about my chances.
But you see how we make these bets? I actually try to make it interesting. I take a team that I think is going to be good, that could make a run at it, and Andy just takes one of the two best teams in football. So
one
that's,
of the two best teams in football?
Bet.
Wait a minute. Where were they last year?
Plus,
wait, were they in the playoffs?
Plus, I'm not going to pay you if I lose.
That's
so
true.
It all evens out. Well, that's it. Next week, we might not have Andy Hart because he could be on maternity leave.
It's paternity leave.
With you, it's paternity leave. But that's it for now. It's a big fat Tom Casale and Andy Hart signing off. Frank and Paul will be back next week. Take care.